Well, good morning. How's everybody doing? All right, we're taking a little break from our Luke series. We finished season one, and now for Christmas, we're going to go back and we're going to sort of look at the early years of Jesus, this Jesus we've been talking about for so long this fall. And so we're going to take our Advent season to explore some of the very beginning stories, the beginning chapters of the life of this person that we know as Jesus. And today is that first announcement. So it's been now just over a week since we had Thanksgiving. And on the Monday of Thanksgiving week, I went to the grocery store and I was buying all the groceries for the Thanksgiving meal we were having, right? And so I get through the store and I get home and I come in the front door. My arms are full of groceries, the bags from the store for Thanksgiving. And I pick up the mail on the way in. You know how you do that. And I get down to the counter and I start to set the bags down. And there on the top of the stack of the mail is the first announcement of Christmas. That's right, the first Christmas card. There it is. I haven't even put away the Thanksgiving groceries, and here I have this announcement that it's time for Christmas. You're already so far behind. That's how I felt. Today, when we come to the story of Luke, we're going to see the very first Christmas announcement ever. And it's going to have that startling sort of effect when you're not expecting to hear the news. And you may have heard these stories before, or maybe not. It may be new to you. Either way, I want you to hear today that it's big, big news that gets announced. And it starts in Luke chapter 1. That's where we're going to be today. We're going to be in chapter 1, verse 26. And out of nowhere, God is going to send an angel. So let's take a look at that together. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. So there in the middle is the heart of the message here. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. And if you're familiar with the story, those words can roll by and they just sort of introduce you. But if you haven't heard them before, that they're big, big, big news, right? First is that God begins this work of what we call Christmas by sending an angel. The message is going to be delivered by an angel, and this is the angel Gabriel. Now, the first two chapters of Luke are full of angels. And whenever angels show up, something big is happening. But here especially, this is the angel Gabriel. He's a very significant angel. In fact, he's one of only two angels with a name in the Bible. The other one's Michael. And so when Gabriel shows up, God is doing something dramatic. This is the A-team. This is the varsity squad that he's sending. His name's Gabriel, and he's an angel. But the contrast to that is God sends him to Nazareth. And Nazareth is nowhere. Nazareth is on the back side of everything. It's the kind of place about which people said, can anything good come from Nazareth? That kind of town. And God sends this angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, as we'll see in the next verse, to a girl. Specifically here it says, to a virgin, pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and that's all we know. And so a young, unmarried girl, one who hadn't been with a man, that's what it means when it says that she was a virgin, and it gets emphasized at the end of the verse, mentioned again, the virgin's name was Mary. That's important. And she's pledged, which means she's promised, to be married to a young man named Joseph, who we learn is from the family of David. Mary could be as young as 13. In their culture, girls were often married by 13 or 14 or 15. And all we're told about her is that her name was Mary, which is unusual for Luke, the author. Right? Luke always tells us what family, what status a person has or where they come from. And in fact, he says it about Joseph. This is what he normally does. Joseph, a descendant of David. But for Mary, the emphasis is just on the fact that she's unmarried and she's nondescript. Like the town she lives in, she's not really anybody. And so this announcement gets our attention because God's doing something big by sending an angel to an out-of-the-way place, the last place you'd expect, really, to a person who barely has a name. Her name is Mary. And angels are generally messengers, and this one certainly is. He has a message, and this is his message for this young girl, Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Hail." Greetings. Some translations say here in English, "Rejoice, you who are highly favored." And that's significant. In fact, that word favor, significant word in the Bible, right? When that word favor or favored is used in the scriptures, it means a very special gift is coming from a superior. When the subject of a king found favor with that king, it meant the king was going to respond by doing something significant and special in way of a gift for that person. That's what favor means. And more than that, the angel says, "The Lord is with you," meaning God is present in your life. God is alongside you. Mary, God is near you. God is for you. God is with you. The Lord is with you. It's a stunning, positive, wonderful greeting from this angel. And of course, this is when the trouble starts, right? In fact, that's what it says about Mary's response to this announcement. Verse 29, Mary, it says, was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now, those of us who've heard the story before, those of us who know what's coming, when we read these words, Mary was greatly troubled, we say, oh yeah, we know why. But Mary doesn't know why. That's not what Mary's thinking. All she's heard is this angel say, "God has highly favored you. God is with you. Rejoice." But her response is of great trouble. Trouble is a deep, deep distress at the very level of the soul. Later in Luke's gospel, Jesus, when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's about to be betrayed and arrested and crucified, and he's thinking about his death and he's praying, "God, is there another way?" It says in the Bible that his soul was deeply troubled. When Jesus explains to his followers on their last night together that he's going to die, that he's going to leave them in death, he has to say to them, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." That's what trouble is. It's the level of distress you have around somebody's death, thinking about somebody's death, experiencing somebody's death. And that's Mary's response. And so, as we'll see in a moment, it literally means that Mary is afraid. And before we go any farther in the story, it's important for us to just grapple for a moment with why. Why would she be troubled over this joyous message that she's favored by God and that God is with her? Well, it is an angel, first of all. In our culture, we picture angels cheerful, happy beings, right? But in the scriptures, angels are awesome and terrifying. And almost every time a person encounters an angel, they fall over like they're dead, and the angel has to say, hey, stand up, right? So that's part of it. And the fact that this angel has come to Nazareth of all places, well, that can't be good. What's he doing here? But more so, I think Mary might be troubled at the very thought that she is favored by God, right? She can't imagine having God's favor. After all, what has she ever done in her life that would earn God's favor? His desire to do something great for her. I mean, isn't God's favor something you should deserve, something that you earn? And this message that God is with her, what has she ever done that would make you think God would be with her? In fact, looking at her life, she's nobody from nowhere. She's poor. How could you look at her life, look at my life, Mary, you say, and say that God is with me? Maybe this morning as we begin to talk about Christmas, you can relate a little bit to Mary and her greatly troubled feeling. You know, if God somehow showed up in your life, would it trouble you? Maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking, whenever God shows up in my life, it means trouble. I'm in trouble, or he wants something from me. Maybe that's actually happened before. Something stirred in your life and you thought it was God and you took a step towards it, but it caused trouble. People didn't understand. And they laughed at you. Maybe it's happening right now. You've taken a step toward God even just by coming to worship or by signing up for this journey we call Rooted. Or serving in the food pantry, and as you take those steps, the possibilities of what it could mean in your life, the ramifications, what might happen, they trouble you. Or maybe the thought that God would show you his favor troubles you. How could God possibly want to show you, to show us his favor? What could we possibly have done? Or maybe you just look at your life today and say, how could you ever say God is with us? Looking at my circumstances and the things that I'm experiencing, how could you say God is with me? And just like Mary, the message of God's favor, the message of God's presence, it can be swallowed by our fear, by our trouble. And we can be troubled. The message sometimes of God's favor and God's presence with us, even in the Christmas season, it just seems to run headlong into our trouble, into our fear. Even the good news can cause us to be troubled. And you know, Christmas time, of all times in the year, can actually be a time when trouble runs high. Today I want you to know, I want you to hear that God cares about that. He cares about your trouble. He cares about your fears. He cares about Mary's troubles. He cares about her fears as we will see. God's message at Christmas time is aimed right at what troubles you. It's aimed at your fears. This is verse 30. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." I know you're afraid. Do not be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. You really have found God's favor. He reiterates that. He repeats that. I know it's hard for you to believe, but you really do have God's favor. She's thinking, have I done anything to deserve it? Isn't God's favor something you earn? And what she's about to learn is that no, actually it's not. It's not. In the scriptures, favor is a gift beyond what you could ever deserve or earn. When somebody finds favor with God in the Bible, it isn't because of something that they've done. They find it because as a gift, God gives it to them. God initiates favor, always. And so the angel says, you really have, Mary, you really have found God's favor. God really is about to give you a great gift. He's about to do something significant for you. Let me show you. Let me prove that to you. Verse 31, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you'll call his name Jesus. Now think about this for a moment. Mary? Yes. Unmarried teenage girl, here's how you know you have God's favor. You're going to have a baby. Seems like a funny way to reassure somebody that they have God's favor, right? But you really have. Because this baby, his name will be Jesus. A common name for them, it's the Hebrew name Joshua, which means Yahweh, God, saves. Mary, you really have found favor. You really are going to have a baby. And that baby will be a gift because he will be a savior. He will save and rescue people. He's a gift. And notice what it says about this child she will have in verse 32. He will be great. Now, we all think our kids are great, but this child will be really great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And it goes on to describe some of the great things about the child, but this is enough. I just want you to hear him saying, Mary, you really have found God's favor. You're going to have this child, Jesus, who's a gift. And oh yeah, God really is with you, Mary. You want to know how? This child, he'll be called the Son of the Most High. He will be the Son of God. God really is with you, Mary. In fact, he's with you so closely that you are going to hold him in your arms. You're going to feed him. You're going to care for him and teach him. He'll be the Son of the Most High. Rejoice, the Lord is with you. And God says the same thing to us. I want you to hear this. God really has shown us, he's shown you his favor. This word favor is going to show up again in the next chapter of Luke, the chapter that tells about the actual birth of this baby. We sang about it a little bit this morning. When a whole crowd of angels show up to the shepherds and announce that God's Savior has been born, right? And what do they say in Luke chapter 2? They say, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. That means you. The coming of this child is the expression of God's favor to you. He loves you so much, he has sent you this remarkable, amazing gift. His name is Jesus, and he will save you. God's favor. And this child, Jesus, grows up. If you were with us in September, you saw this in our series about Luke season 1. That when Jesus begins his ministry in public, one day he goes into the synagogue and he unrolls the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. And he reads these words to the people, quoting from the prophet, He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he sits down and he says to everybody, today this scripture is fulfilled. Because with the coming of Jesus, God announces the year, the era, the season, the beginning of his favor to you. A gift so significant, it's beyond what you could earn, and it's a reflection of God's love for you. He's given you his favor. Because the Lord is with us. God comes at Christmas to be with us in the person of Jesus, his Son. And just at the moment this sounds good, right? Something happens. Just at the moment Mary wants to believe this, look what happens. Verse 34, she says this, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. Excuse me, Mr. Angel, do you know how these things work? Right? I hear you. I hear you saying that I have God's favor and I have God's presence, but when I look at my life, when I look at the situation and the circumstances that I've been in, it looks impossible. Impossible. How could this happen? I don't know. How can this be? And the angel answers her and says this, the Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. I think it's interesting what the angel says, right? He basically says this is going to happen because God is going to do it. It isn't going to happen in the normal way. It's going to happen in a supernatural way. God is going to be present. This will be God's child. Right? Like the angel doesn't say, oh, Mary, don't worry. This is going to happen later. You know, after you're married, it'll be fine. It's not what he says. God chooses to do his work right in the midst of our impossible situations. I want you to hear that. That God communicates his message of his favor and his presence and his power right in the midst of those moments and circumstances and times in our life when we say, I don't see how this is possible. Every month the budget is short, or they've laid me off right during the holidays, or maybe this is the first Christmas without somebody. That seems impossible. That you could be the recipient of God's favor because of what you've done or where you've been or those things in your life that they just seem to stay in the way of God and you. In the midst of that, God says, no. I'm not limited by your circumstances and your situations. In fact, my presence with you, my favor with you comes not even to move those situations aside or resolve them completely, but to be with you in them, through them. You really have found favor with God, Mary. The Lord really is with you, even in that seemingly impossible circumstance. And God's message to her is his message to us for Christmas. Don't be afraid. You really have found favor with God. The Lord really is with you. So don't fear. God has given you an amazing gift. Jesus, God's Son. And he is with you even in the middle of what looks and feels impossible to you. And this leads to Mary's response. I am the Lord's servant, she says. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. Mary becomes the most glorious example of a response to God by a human being. It starts here, continues throughout the gospel when she says, let it be, God. I trust you. I believe you. I receive your favor and your presence. And that's the response God wants from us. God calls that from us. He longs for that response from us. And so today, at the beginning of the Christmas season, really, in the beginning of a month when your calendar's going to be full and your family life might be full or it might be distressing, in the midst of everything that's going to come your way for the next 3 or 4 weeks, God, in the middle of that, wants you to hear him say, you have my favor. I'm with you. Even in that situation or circumstance that seems impossible, I'm right there with you. Rejoice. And may we find it in our hearts to respond to God simply. May it be. Let it be. I am the Lord's servant. You pray with me this morning.